who's an Israeli patriot, who's been on the front lines of so many of the terrible things that have happened over in Israel, and of course, as today we look and see what's going on there. Well, I think it's only a matter of time before war breaks out again. But without further ado, you go ahead and pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, I guess we should, in a backhanded and a little bit sick way, congratulate ourselves on last week's predictions that the Sinai border would become nothing but a gateway to terrorism. We had a very nasty attack on southern Israel 3 days ago in Dimona. Two dead. It should have been more. A policeman killed a second bomber. There were two bombers. One blew up a cafe. And then when all the first aid people were going to rush to help out the wounded, a second bomber was going to blow them up, but a policeman noticed his wires and shot him before he shot up everybody. That was the first of the southern Israeli terror campaigns that was lifted, what was it, 5 days after we said it was inevitable. The inevitable happened. And again, this is not something you tell people, I told you so. You don't tell people that you were right, there were going to be innocent dead people. You just kind of mentioned the fact that we stated the obvious, that you have a porous border with no fence, and the situation is so absurd that the Israelis don't know where they came from, but that's not the really absurd part. The terrorists don't know if they came from the Sinai or Hebron, that's what they're telling us, because there are so many gangs in the Sinai waiting to hit southern Israel, they don't know which one hit us. Don't know which one hit Dimona. And again, there are dozens, they say dozens, of suicide squads on the Egyptian side from Hamas waiting to hit, oh Lord, the resort of Eilat is now wide open. Beersheba, Arad, Dimona was hit. The 500,000 Jews of southern Israel, the Negev, are now just as vulnerable as anyone living in Judea and Samaria. Maybe more, but at least there's years of experience in Judea and Samaria. This was previously a nearly terror-free part of Israel, which is now wide open to terror attacks. So, just so we note that we didn't waste our breath or we weren't just talking foolishness last week, the porous border of which I spoke and of which I once guarded as a soldier is doing exactly what we said it would. It's preparing terrorism and letting the terrorists in and the army miss them. So I guess we should get that out of the way.
All right, fine. Well, it's a tragic situation, but the potential is there for many more terrorist attacks coming through that porous border between Israel and Egypt.
Well, they're ready to move. And again, you can't, it's hard to talk about this subject because these are people I know who live in these towns, and as much as I hate the Israeli government and everything it stands for...
Hold that thought, Barry. We're just about to go to the first break.
Gotcha.
The war on terrorism. Will it be fought overseas, or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Some
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
This is George Wickers Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Barry Shamish. I would simply point out that apparently about five of the major cables going to the countries in the Middle East, whether it be Dubai or Iran or the Arab countries there, all those cables have been cut. We were told it was just accidental. Ships dropped their anchor and cut the cables, but they don't know how to repair them. That's the thing. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be so complicated to repair those cables. And ladies and gentlemen, if they wanted to have the cables repaired, they would be repaired. Obviously, somebody cut those cables to cut off communication from the Middle East and from some parts of the Near East. And we have to ask ourselves why they did not cut off, as far as I know, the communication with Israel or with Iraq. It was just all the surrounding countries, and obviously, they're doing it for a reason. Maybe we'll know one of these days, but five of them now. Initially, it was one, then it was two. Now five major cables in different locations, all spontaneously cut at the same time, and they have no idea how to get them repaired. They're so complicated, you have to understand, so complicated they just can't repair them right away. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, well, you have to congratulate Israel on the show. What was it, 2 months ago or three, we spoke about their satellite television being thoroughly disrupted to the point where they put on free movies and they apologized to the people and they blamed the Russian ship anchored off Israel. And it looks like Israel got theirs back. This was a very heartwarming operation, I suppose. Five cables, 2,000 miles distance from each other, and they're blaming storms, and there are people who believe that. There was a storm from Egypt all the way to the Gulf States that knocked out five separate cables. It looks very much like this was Israel, and we can only congratulate Israel if they did it. It was a terrific operation. But let's get back to the main question, which I said I'd answer last week, and I will this week. Why don't people leave the government? There was a huge cover-up, a huge whitewash called the Vinograd Report on the Lebanon War of a year and a half ago, no one is actually blamed, but somebody wags their little forefinger and is told that they were incompetent, but not corrupt, and the actual cause of the Lebanon War, the kidnapping of Israeli soldiers, is not mentioned once. Not one of the kidnapped soldiers gets his name in the report. But nonetheless, to stay in this government essentially means that you're backing deep incompetence and corruption. And Ehud Barak, he is the leader of the Labor Party. That is the number two biggest party within the government coalition, promised that he would leave the government if this report was harsh, and then Barak decided it wasn't harsh enough, and he's staying in the government. Last night, my cables, my email said that maybe he's changed his mind, and he will, but he won't. There are reasons for that. But one party did leave the government just prior to the Vinograd report, and that was Avigdor Lieberman's Israel Beitenu party. And then the big question was, well, why doesn't Shas, another party, it's Moroccan and it's Haredi, very religious, well, why don't they leave the government? And this would give Olmert no Jewish majority. He could still pass legislation. Unfortunately, if Labor left the party, he wouldn't even be able to do that. But I said that Shas will never leave the government, no matter how much it threatens to, because it's so thoroughly blackmailed, that you have to understand it can't leave the government. So let us do the story of Shas. Shall we do the story of Shas?
Sure, but why don't you just mention that Lieberman, who headed one of the parties, left the government, and immediately he was investigated for previous crimes. His daughter was hauled in, and, questioned for 6 hours, and everything is done to punish him for pulling his party out of the Israeli government. This is how it really works over there, and they've got something on just about everybody.
Well, if they don't, they kill you. But, Lieberman paid the price, and watch out, he may go to jail. It's a nasty thing to pull out of the peace coalition. But Shas won't. And you're right, there's a threat, but it's even worse than Lieberman's. And let's start with who is Shas and where they came from. In 1984, there were elections, by the way, and there was a new party called Shas, which at the time pulled three seats, maybe four. And today they have 10. Now, try and understand that there, just take the history, it was a tie. There were two tie elections during the 1980s. 84 and 88. And in a tie, that means that they couldn't labor, since they could neither form a parliament unless they were forced to work together. So in this tie, Peres was prime minister first, and then from 86 to 88, Shamir was prime minister. Peres was prime minister, I'm sorry, he's president now. Now, Shamir was furious. I'm sorry. Peres was furious that he lost the election, and he should have won the election. There was a terrible war in Lebanon. They completely destroyed Menachem Begin. He ran in that election. He was a broken man. It would only be a year before Shamir took over from Begin. Peres did everything his murderous heart could think of to win that election, but he didn't because of the Moroccans. The biggest community in Israel is the Moroccan community of 600,000, and they will never vote Labor because they remember what these horrible people, including Peres personally, did to them in the early 50s when their children were, all of their children, not a few, 108,000, were subjected to horrible X-ray atomic experiments. When another Sephardic group, the Yemenites, lost 4,500 of their infants to kidnapping, these people were never, ever going to vote Labor. And Peres gathered his troops together. Now, I've covered this in my early books, but there's a book called Save Israel. No, Israel Betrayed, where I dive into the details. He gathers together, here they are, Chaim Ramon. He is today's Deputy Prime Minister of Israel. Now, he also gathered Yossi Beilin, who is the chief of the Meretz Party, an incredibly disgusting, evil person, of which we will speak about later on, and Moshe Shachal, who was quit the government after numerous horrible crimes, which we won't describe today, but he told them that we don't need the Moroccans. They don't have to vote for us. There is now a Moroccan party. It's called Shas. Why should we get the Moroccan vote when all we have to do is corrupt the Moroccan party? And then they started their horrible strategy to turn, which, as usual, was an honest party, I believe, at the beginning. Not by the time Paris finished with them, but at the beginning, I assume they were idealistic and not totally criminal. What Paris did is he sent his cohorts and aimed them at one person. Remember this name. In Israel, he is a classic name. His name is Aryeh Deri. The Deri scandals of the 1980s all through the 1990s, till he finally was sent to prison in the year 2000, dominated the Israeli news. Deri was a 23-year-old secretary of the spiritual leader of Shas, Rabbi Yosef Ovadia. Now keep in mind, this is a religious party, and they do what the rabbi, the Rav, tells them what to do. That's just the way of religious parties, live with it. Their rabbi, Yosef Ovadia, is a major character. He was, I believe, an honest rabbi at the beginning. By the year 1990, he was covering up for just vicious crimes committed by his favorite, the apple of his eye. In 1984, it was 23-year-old Aryeh Deri, the personal secretary to Rabbi Yosef Ovadia. Now, I know I'm doing this very slowly, and if you get lost on the names, just live with it. Just flow with the descriptions of the events and the evil. Forget the names, or listen to the show again. But this was his plan. Now, as for Chaim Ramon, who is today Deputy Prime Minister, remember, if something happens to Olmert, he is either first in line to be Prime Minister or second in line. It could be Foreign Minister Livni. He is in there. Remember, this was also the man who a year ago was convicted almost pedophilic crime when he stuck his tongue deeply down a young 18-year-old soldier's throat and went to court when she charged him with abusing her. He is the Deputy Prime Minister of Israel. Now, what Peres told Ramon to do was very straightforward. Ramon, as an attorney, was negotiating the sale of a bank. It was called Bank Carmel.
Hold that thought, Barry. We're going to have to pick that up when we get back, because we're going to have to go to a break, unfortunately, right here at Genesis.
Gotcha. Another commercial.
Providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened.
It's a shame. I get started and my mind's are concentrated. But on the other hand, let's be relaxed.
For an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA.
The weather is perfect for tennis, by the way. We can stay out there for a while. It's warm.
We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to
do a
filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Dead enders from Midas, February 6, 2007. Gold, 898.60 ounce gold coins can be purchased for 924.73, 455.50 for half, 227.75 for quarter. That's 924.73, 455.50, and 227.75. Hedge funds caught in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. J.P. Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast out on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rudy Boyd published the report Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Breathe deeply. Get in touch with your inner self and tap into all that energy. Aha! You think I'm talking about yoga, but it's really about cars. When I come back, I'll rev you up.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air and fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
Top performance in humans and in cars depends on oxygen intake. But how do you know if your car is getting enough? That's the job of close-pin-sized gadgets called oxygen sensors. When in tip-top shape, these monitors measure oxygen in the exhaust, then signal onboard computers to adjust fuel-air ratios in the engine for complete combustion. But worn sensors give faulty cues, resulting in poor performance, higher emissions, and lower gas mileage. So check out those sensors. Then you and your car can breathe easy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to RoyalPurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high-performance motor oil that outperforms.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, Barry Shamish, is telling us about how they were able to gain control of the Schatz Party, which is one of the major parties, political parties over there. And, you know, initially, of course, the leader, this was a moral individual, but he had an assistant. His name was Derry. So you pick up the story there.
Well, more to the point, we go back to today's Deputy Prime Minister, Chaim Ramon. He gave Derry $50,000 to be the negotiator of the sale of Bank Carmel. He outright bribed Derry. 50 grand he gave him, like this 23-year-old secretary with no education, and I mean no education, is going to be a grand negotiator. That's what he did. He bribed Derry. By the year 1986, at 25 years of age, Perez made Derry the country's interior minister. He was the youngest interior minister by like 15 years. And now they had the Moroccans in their back pockets. Not quite yet, but they certainly had, they've done their duty. They made Derry, and he's not a member of the Knesset, by the way. He's an outsider. He is made the interior minister. Now we have to jump ahead to 1988. And we've got, as we said, Peres was the first prime minister, then Begin Shamir, and now in 1988, you have another election, and you have another tie. And they agreed to split the prime minister's office. Peres was first. from 1988 to 1990, he was prime minister, and then Shamir was going to take over. Except Peres didn't want Shamir to take over, so he looked for a way to fail his own government. Remember, he's in this government. And the way that he set up, you can cite the Council on Foreign Relations, they pitched in on this. Secretary of State James Baker, a nasty, nasty human being in every respect, flew to Egypt, where he has a meeting with Hosni Mubarak, and they come up with a five-point peace plan. Now, amongst the points were that Jerusalem was up for negotiations, which, believe me, back in 1990, no one would ever have considered such a thing. Today, they've jaded the population, and a certain number of people think it's just a great idea to turn Jerusalem into Belfast or Beirut or Berlin, just divide the city with a wall. In 1990, it was unheard of. And they knew Shamir would object, and he turned down the Baker plan. And then Peres makes the issue, say yes to Baker. That was what was going to bring down Shamir, and he called for a motion of no confidence. Now, I watched this, and everyone watched it. What do you know? The Shas party didn't support Shamir. No one expected the Shas party not to support Shamir. The government fell. Now, the president then was Chaim Herzog. He gave Peres 40 days to form a government. Peres couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So Herzog gave him another 40 days to form a government, and Shas, there was too much objection to saying yes to Baker. They didn't want to divide their capital up. Peres could not form a government. The country of Israel had no ruler. None. No one was prime minister for 88 days in the year 1990. Shas, remember, Derry was not a member of the Knesset. He couldn't change Shas policy. Shas said no to Baker, and Peres had to renege the government back to Shamir, and that's when he released all the findings that led to the Derry scandal. Now, how do I know what findings he discovered, and here's how I started playing a role in the Derry scandal. A pretty good role, by the way. We start with the fact that I'm working with Joel Beinerman. We have a newsletter called Inside Israel, and the year is 1991. We read a very brief article that deputy mayors of Jerusalem, Teddy Kollek was the mayor then, his deputies were Shmuel Meir, who was murdered, and we'll talk about that someday. He was murdered. He was a right-winger. And another deputy mayor, Arnon Yekutieli, who was a far left-winger. Oops, yes, I hear the music.
You hear the music, and we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Barry Shamus. It goes into the background of this total corruption of the Shas party and its leaders, and that's, of course, why they won't drop out.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
This is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest, Barry Shamus. Barry, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your to your website, how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs.
The books, this one, by the way, is the daily stories in my book, Save Israel. Israel Betrayed. You go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Don't try to phone them. We looked around today. We can't find a number so far. Just go to lulu.com. In the right-hand corner, it says search right by name. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamus, and you'll get to my books. As for the website, it's officially the Barry Shamus website, but barryshamus.com will take you there. And I have a phone number for DVDs, which Lulu doesn't sell. And I've got a new one. It's a beauty. It's an MP3 called The Best of 2007 with 124 radio shows that I did, many from Dr. Stan and lots with people far less competent than Dr. Stan. It's almost amusing how confused they are by me. Just phone me, 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605 for like 5 days of radio shows, plus a present of some kind for $20. And now we go back to the meeting that Joel and I had with the two deputy mayors of Jerusalem, Arnon Yekutieli and Shmuel Meir. Now both of them, remember, Daly is interior minister, and he hands out school subsidies all through the country. In the district of Jerusalem, the schools would not get their subsidies unless they kicked back part of the subsidies to Derry. It was a straight kickback deal that adds up to a ton of money, by the way. And that's what, in separate meetings, Mayor Yekutieli told us. But they told us something else that was, back then, it was just shivers down the spine. And nowadays, it goes without saying how dirty UFC Berlin was. Now, in 1990, Perez became finance minister. Of all the portfolios, the publican was told he wants to cure Israel's finances. What he wants to do is get every penny stolen by Dery and the Shas party in his hands. And then he sent Yossi Beilin, he was deputy finance minister, to Dery and told him that you are going to fell the Shamir government. Your party is not going to support Shamir, and we're going to have a new government, or you go to jail. And he gives him all, every penny that Dery and his cronies have stolen, and gives him an ultimatum. You bring down Shamir, or you go to jail. Now, when they didn't bring down Shamir, in the end, one Shas member of Knesset after another was indicted, and a couple went to jail that I can recall. It was the mass blackmailing of the Moroccan people. And by 1988, Shas had 10 seats in the, no, they had 7 seats in the Knesset. The Moroccan community is the largest in Israel. Perez had the Moroccan community where he wanted them. But here is what Yekutieli and Meir told us. They said that they had met Yossi Beilin socially at a party. And Beilin was bragging. He said, we have got Shas in our back pockets. This was before the Shamir, well, the government was felled over the Baker deal. He told both of them, we've got Shas. They're on our side. And Meir told me, he said, I said to Beilin, he said, you can have them for a week, maybe two. You don't have them for long. And Yossi Beilin smiled, he said, I know it's illegal, but that's the way the system is. We've got them forever. That includes to this day. Now, this meeting to me was astounding. Now, I was writing books, Joel and I were writing a book. He wrote Crimes of a President, a classic expose of the Bush family, and I wrote The Fall of Israel, which came out in England in 1992, critically acclaimed. I was the lead review of The Economist. Literally 60% of major British newspapers reviewed the book, most quite well. Excuse me. And my first chapter one of my book was called Dairy Products. That's what it was called, Dairy Products. And I told about the meeting and the connection back to Beilin. I told the whole story that I heard from Yekutieli and Meir. Now, after the book, I flew to England for a promotional tour, and by the way, to watch my baby get born, but that's kind of irrelevant to us right now. When I returned to Israel, I was invited by the number one TV show, Dan Shilon's show, to talk about my new book, The Fall of Israel. And there were only 2 stations in Israel. This was the most popular show. I was told that 85% of Israel watched me that night. And I was good. I mean, they tried to trap me. I was there to trap me and make me look like an idiot. But I did not look like an idiot. I had a sense of humor. I got the audience laughing. But I tried to tell the story of Beilin's connection back to Shas and how Shas was blackmailed and how the Labour Party under Perez had blackmailed Shas. They wouldn't let me do it. Every time I opened my mouth, there was Dan Shilon cutting me off. But I got as much as I could about Beilin and the blackmail in to most of Israel. Really, most of Israel. This show, I walked around for 2 years. Wherever I went, people remembered me from this show. It must have sunk in. The next day, I get a phone call from a Shas member of the Knesset. His name was Yigal Bibi. And he says, we want to meet you in the Knesset. And we're going to give you a lot of information that you missed. And I said, yes, of course, why shouldn't I? I drove to the Knesset, I met Yigal Bibi, and he took me into a big meeting room. I mean, it could have held 60 people, but it's just me and him at the table. I sit down, and he turns to me and says, you've got REA, that's REA Dairy, of course, says, you've got REA really mad. And I said, well, I'm sorry. He said, no, no, you don't know REA. He's not the kind of person you get really mad, but you've got him in a rage. And I said, well, that's what I do. And I said, what information? He says, the information you have is that if you continue doing this, there's no stopping REA. There's no telling what he will do to you. And I understood right then and there, I was brought to the Knesset to be threatened. And no telling what he would do to you in Knesset language, I didn't realize back then what they could do to you. This was 92. It wasn't so corrupt in my mind as it is today. It was, of course. And I was threatened in the Knesset. And now here, I assume I'm about to reveal what really, really happened with Dairy. And this was in the summer of 1992. In July of 1992, Dairy's mother-in-law was run over dead in Queens. Now, a little background. His wife, Yaffa, was an orphan, and this Holocaust surviving couple, Isa and Esther Verdiger, wanted to do some good with the little money they had. He was a garment factory worker, and they adopted a little Moroccan girl, little Yaffa Dairy. Her name was Cohen, actually, when they adopted her, and they agreed to put her through school and pay her education. That was their crime. Dairy, meanwhile, was charged and was about to stand trial on a number of crimes. Number one, where did he get $170,000 to buy a house in cash in the religious neighborhood of Jerusalem called Har Nof? Now, another one of his charges, another co-conspirator, was Moshe Reich. He was charged with giving Dairy a $100,000 cash bribe. Keep this in mind. They're really relevant. Because here is how I found out that Dairy ordered the murder of his wife's adoptive mother-in-law. Esther Verdiger was crossing the street, Queens Boulevard, in New York City, in July of 1992, when a car would not move during the green light and waited for the red light, his red light, waited for his red light. I mean, it's that simple. Esther crosses the street. He guns the car, according to a dozen witnesses, with all his might, he slams on the gas, and he rolls her over dead. The problem is that the driver, David Avticielli, was employed by Moshe Reich, who was charged in Israel with bribing Dairy. He worked for Moshe Reich.
But, of course, the reason that the mother-in-law was run over is that she refused to sign an affidavit saying that she'd given $150 or some $1,000 to her son-in-law, and of course he wanted that affidavit because he was being they were going to get him on on bribery charges because he couldn't tell where that $150,000 or whatever it was had come from that he used to buy a house. So he had somebody go to her, you know, and she refused to sign the false affidavit saying, "I know you're going to kill me if I won't do it, but I won't do it."
Well, that certainly sums up what we're going to lead to. I had this proven Dairy was extremely stupid. What happened was that, he sat down. He didn't sit down. An attorney named Shmuel Weinberg sat with Esther Verdiger, and recorded the conversation. And Derry, for some reason, thought that this tape, there were two tapes made. He did not submit the second one to the court. He submitted this one to the court to defend himself, proving that he was innocent of all charges. And if this one proves that he's innocent of all charges, that second one must have been a beauty. Now, the tape was only one little publication in Israel, in Yerushalayim magazine. They printed the transcript of this tape. And I read, it was a long transcript. It's in my book, again, Israel Betrayed. You get it on lulu.com. You can hear how the attorney, Shmuel Weinberg, is threatening this old lady. And it's very scary and it's very ugly, but she does not want to sign the affidavit he brought, that she gave him the $170,000 that in cash that he put down for this apartment. And the language she uses is just scary. She says, there are last words on the tape. After refusing to sign the affidavit, she says, I know you're going to kill me. I don't want to live anymore. It doesn't matter. Kill me if you want to. I'm not signing this affidavit. It was about 10 days afterwards that Moshe Reich's employee, David Epticielli, ran over Esther Vertiger. Derry was now involved in murder. Involved. Now, if you think the New York police didn't know about this, you are wrong. What they did is they took this case, and we know this because the chief of New York police was in Israel, and he admitted the case is wide open. They've never closed it. They have just used it for diplomatic reasons. Whenever Shas, suddenly this Orthodox religious, supposedly right-wing party is backing the Oslo Agreement, whenever they thought to back out because Israel was in immense danger, in would come the American ambassador to Tel Aviv, Samuel Lewis, of the CFR, by the way. He's on the CFR list. He would meet Rabbi Ovadia Yosef and remind him that the file in New York on Derry and the murder of Esther Vertiger can be opened any time they feel like it. And Shas would return to the peace fold. This is how they kept Shas in line. Excuse me. They blackmailed Aryeh Derry. Now, it gets worse. If you can imagine anything getting worse than this, one of these days we'll talk about it. But Derry finally, in the year 2000, after 10 years of top headlines, the Derry scandal was a 10-year scandal in Israel. He finally went to prison for a mere year and a half, and he came out a wreck, and he came out in the year 2002, and he's never been in politics ever since that we know about. They ruined him. As well, he deserved to be ruined. He may not have been corrupt when he began his political career, but he became a murderer. Forget all the other monetary crimes. They say that he stole up to $50 million from the Israeli government treasury while he was sitting as a minister of the government. And that's how Shas Party funded its own schools and its own operations and expanded itself was through, in large part, Derry's thefts. But I'm going to mention another member of the current Israeli government. He is Rami Bar-On. He is the finance minister. And there is a tremendously ugly story about Rami Bar-On and Derry. Now, Netanyahu becomes elected prime minister in 1997. When he is by the way, he rigged that election, rigged it over the Rabin assassination, and the 1996 elections, Peres actually won, the Likud and their allies got the information that Peres actually murdered Rabin, which he did. They used it against him. Netanyahu actually lost the election, but nonetheless, became prime minister when 120,000 votes for Paris were destroyed, and that's we've done this show, and maybe we'll do it again. Netanyahu is not good news.
All right, but Barry, we're out of time. I wish we'd go on, but thank you so much, and I think it's an amazing, amazing story of intrigue and you know, bribery and murder, and of course this is being used today to prevent the Olmert from being forced out of office. God bless. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Barry. It's always a fascinating subject. We have a complete tape of the program if you're interested in it, because we interviewed him, I believe it was just last night on one of our other networks. But let me point out, I don't know if you're concerned about what's happening as far as the weather is concerned, but certainly there a marked decrease in the wheat crop in the United States and in Canada, and certainly food production is being undermined throughout the world. And why are we having all the strange storms? Well, you must understand they have the ability to modify the weather. We have a great DVD put out by my good friend Bob Fletcher on weather modification. We have a four-tape set on weather modification, interviews with people who've studied this. And then, lastly, we have the book, Weather Modification by Jerry Smith, and the other book he put out called HARP, The Ultimate Weapon. We have a four-tape set on HARP. Now, of course, the four-tape set on weather modification is available either either in CD or in by tape, and so many of our tape sets are available either way. If you prefer the CDs, you can get them. you need to understand that they have the ability to modify the weather. It was yesterday why there's suddenly all these tornadoes all over the East Coast, and this is not tornado season. And yet they're coming, and they have the ability to do this, to change the jet stream, and they know exactly what they're doing. But it's so difficult for the average individual to believe that this sort of thing could really be happening in America. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, you can go up on the Internet and type in, Google in the words weather modification, and there are a lot of companies that will do this, and, of course, they're being allowed to do it. And if you take the water out of the air in Montana, why, there's not going to be any water for the farm crops in the east of the Rockies. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they are modifying the weather. They can create storms and droughts. In fact, Zygmunt Brzezinski, in his book Between Two Ages, bragged about this in 1970, how that in the future they'd be able to create storms and droughts and create chronic diseases. Well, they've created a lot of chronic diseases. That's why millions of Americans are ill today. And, of course, you know, the average American finds this difficult, but they don't understand that the major thrust of American foreign policy and domestic policy is population control. And if you doubt that, you need to read the National Security Study Memorandum 200. It's available on the Internet, or you can purchase it from Radio Liberty. It came out in 1974 over the signature of one of the most evil men in the world. His name is Henry Kissinger. He is a disciple of the Rockefellers. He works for them and carries out their population control genocidal policies. And, of course, throughout the world today, you go into, for instance, Botswana in Africa. 46% of the pregnant women there who were tested for HIV, and they test every woman there. They don't do it in America, but they do it in Botswana. 46 of the pregnant women are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. A very, very successful genocidal policy, but we can't tell the American people because they're good people, and they would find it difficult to believe. You need to get my DVD on None Dare Call It Genocide. You need to get my DVD on Planned Population Reduction. That's None Dare Call It Genocide and Planned Population Reduction. We also have a video on population control, which is available. We also, of course, have a monograph. You can get it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. It's called the Population Control Agenda Monograph, or if you order any of the other things that we are offering, why, we'll be glad to send you one copy of that monograph free of charge if you just ask for it. Let me suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you get the information. We have Dr. MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee, the complete text of it. We ask for $10 million to create a new disease for which there will be no immune response, a new means of mass killing. Those are his words, not mine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a battle against organized evil. We'll be back in just a moment here for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438.
For amber waves of grace.
This is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And for the next hour, our guest will be William H. Kennedy. And if you haven't been to his website, williamhkennedy.com, you need to go there. I think it's one of the finest websites out there. And, of course, William's ministry is very, very similar to mine. He is trying to expose the satanic forces working behind the scenes. William, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. And I should point out, I'm not really in ministry. I'm more of a journalist.
All right, fine. Well, but, of course, it really deal with spiritual issues. And so for that benefit, why, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I know you're
very
a journalist,
good.
But,
thank you, Dr.
but you're trying to get the truth out about the spiritual
right.
forces that are out there working. And he's done a great, great job on this. And, of course, he wanted to talk today about Tony Blair. Now, Tony Blair, for many years, was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Tony Blair, of course, is a member of the Labour Party. He is a Fabian socialist. He has recently converted to the Catholic Church, although everything would suggest that if he's a member of the Fabian Socialists, he's an atheist and hates God. And so we have to ask, why would Tony Blair suddenly make such a great issue out of converting to Catholicism? Well, Tony Blair has sights far higher than simply being the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the leader of one of the great countries of the world. He wants to become... Well, I'm going to let you tell the story with him.
Okay, very good, Dr. Stand. What happened is, since Tony Blair resigned as the Prime Minister of England last summer, he's done two major things. Number one, he has converted to Roman Catholicism. He met with Pope Benedict XVI to do so. And number two, he's begun to run for the presidency of the European Union. Now, I should point out, this was hardly reported over here, there was the Treaty of Lisbon signed about a month ago in December of 2007, which makes the presidency of the EU pretty much a dictatorship in times of terrorism. It gives virtual absolute power to the president of Europe, and that's what Tony Blair is running for. Now, he has allied himself with the Roman Catholic Church because that's the closest thing that will make him a global dictator, in that the Roman Catholic Church is the largest organization on earth, and it is also the richest. And I say this as a Roman Catholic myself, a lifelong Roman Catholic. And I know that if my church falls or has fallen into the wrong hands, then it can be a very dangerous organization. And as a Roman Catholic, I'm seeking to expose what I believe is, evil in the church.
And, of course, William has written a book called Lucifer's Lodge, about certainly the infiltration of the Catholic seminaries by homosexuals. And, of course, if you wanted to get into many of the Catholic seminaries and you weren't a homosexual, you couldn't get in. And what people don't understand is there's a powerful spiritual component to homosexuality in this movement. Is really a rebellion against God and his plan for humanity. And so we see these spiritual forces at work. And, of course, the fact that Tony Blair wants to become the president of the European Union, virtually dictatorship of 450 million people living in the European Union today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is William H. Kennedy, and William is a lifelong Catholic, and of course I think then that he can speak out to manifest his concern about what's happening in the Catholic Church. I don't bring Protestants on to attack Catholicism. I think that would be quite improper. But I think that William is a dedicated Catholic and very concerned about what's happening. And he's pointed out that Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, a lifelong atheist, although he's pretended to have been an Anglican, waited until he left his position as Prime Minister of Europe and the leader of the Fabian Socialist Party to suddenly convert to Catholicism, just as he is about to begin running for the presidency of the European Union. And certainly in times like this, times of terrorism or war, why, of course, the president of the European Union will become the dictator of Europe. Go right ahead with the story, William.
Well, right, Dr. Stan, when you consider that Tony Blair, by the euro is backed by gold. That's the monetary unit of the European Union. And the largest holders of gold on earth is the Vatican. They have gold in their vaults in Rome, and they have gold held in Switzerland and New York. And when you consider the Vatican actually controls one-fourth of the world's gold supply. Now, all the gold in the world would fit in a football field about a foot deep, and the Vatican controls about one-fourth of that. So Tony Blair aligning himself with the Vatican would make him a super economic power, too, because when you consider that if the Vatican were just to dump its gold supply it holds in New York, it could crash the world economies. It could devalue gold and send, you know, the money would be worthless, in other words.
Well, of course, they're not about to do that because they understand how important gold is. But if you, when you there's the old golden rule, you know, he who has the gold rules.
Well, that's the point. I'm not saying they necessarily would do that, Dr. Sand, but it's a silent threat. It's another source of power for this Catholic European president. Now, I should also point out that Tony Blair and his wife, Sherry, are avid occultists and even Satanists in that they were involved with three different psychics. The first one was a man named Jack Temple, who was a pendulum dowser. And what he did is Sherry Blair would bring Tony Blair's hair and nail clippings to this fellow, and he would wave a pendulum over it and decide world events. Now, they were also involved with another occultist named Carol Kaplan. This was
all right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William's talking about, of course, Tony Blair. And, of course, what most people don't understand is that although Tony Blair professes to have recently converted to Catholicism, he's been deeply involved with the occult. And certainly they've had information about their close relationships. His wife has had a close relationship with a dowser who is able, of course, to do supernatural things with hair clippings and fingernail clippings of Tony Blair. And then who's the second occultist that they've been associated with, the Blair family?
A woman named Carol Kaplan, who is sort of a New Age guru. She does health and mystical medicine type things. And she has Sherry Blair wearing various magical amulets, pendants.
Well, I said, how do you get those magical? Will they really cure people?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, the devil can do whatever he wants. The devil can cure people and give people help in this world because he knows, you know, no one lives forever and he's going to get you eventually.
And I think it's so important to know for our listeners to understand that these magical things sometimes do work, and many times they work if the person is legitimate and is in contact with the beings from the other dimension. And we've talked to people who have been in contact with the beings from the other dimension and got great power and prosperity as a result of it. But of course, eventually comes the day of reckoning. But it's very difficult for the average individual to understand this because our ministers don't like to talk about the reality of this other world that's out there, the spirit world, which we're told, of course, in the book of Deuteronomy to avoid the dowsers, to avoid the mediums, to avoid the fortune tellers and certainly the spiritists and the people into Wicca and witchcraft and sorcery. And yet, of course, Tony Blair is deeply involved in that, and that's why you need to go to William's website, williamhkennedy.com, because he has links to articles that will tell you about how Richard Nixon was into astrology, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt was into astrology, and Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy were into astrology, and of course certainly our most famous astrology candidate is a woman named Hillary Clinton, who, when she went to the White House, brought in Jean Houston to conjure up the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi, and you can go up on the internet and check it out. Isn't it interesting that today nobody ever talks about the relationship between Hillary Clinton and the occult and Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi, who she had conjured up, their spirits conjured up, right in the United States White House?
Dr. Stan, it's quite amazing, and the most disturbing third thing that Tony Blair did was in 2001, he went down to near Cancun, Mexico, and he performed a ritual down there with an occultist named Nancy Aguilar, and at this hotel complex down there, they have a pyramid structure. And what Tony and Cherry Blair did is they prayed to four figures. The first figure was a sun with lizards around it. The second figure was a phoenix, a bird. The third figure was a crab, and the fourth figure was a serpent. Well, what this is an introduction into the infernal realm. The lizards represent the underworld or hell, and the phoenix is the inversion of the Holy Ghost, and the crab is the inversion of the fish, which is Christ, and the serpent is, of course, the inversion of God, or Lucifer. And Tony Blair prayed before this infernal trinity, then he entered the pyramid himself and smeared himself with mud, and they both came out of this pyramid screaming, and they ran into the ocean. This was a diabolical initiation ceremony. They performed again down in Cancun, Mexico in 2001. It's quite amazing. That was mentioned by the Telegraph of London in September 21st, 2005, if people want to check it. I know that sounds like a quite a shocking thing to say, but Tony Blair did in fact go through that bizarre ritual.
And of course you have the link on your website to that article, don't you?
Yes, directly to that article. It originally appeared in the Times of London, and then it appeared in the Edmonton Journal in Canada, and then it appeared in the Telegraph. But you can see all this at williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com. Go to the Satanic Crime Multimedia page and scroll down. This is all free stuff. It's really, I put a lot of work into it. It's the best site for Satanism and witchcraft on the internet, I believe.
I'd like
to see a better one.
All right, fine. Well, no, I think it's an excellent site. And I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that many people in key positions in political power and financial power associated within the capitalist system have, of course, gone through these initiation rites into the occult. Go right ahead.
Well, it's bizarre because the Blairs are even freakier in that they performed an act of New Age sex magic to conceive their final child, Leo Blair, who was born while Tony Blair was prime minister, and they performed a Wicca rite. Now, the Telegraph in England reported that Cherry Blair is into Wicca and actually does a magic circle ritual before meetings Tony has. And it's very, very bizarre that these people are in this sort of thing. Now, when you consider their son Leo was born under this sex magic thing, this comes directly from Aleister Crowley, who's really R. Crowley, as it's sometimes pronounced, who's the father of modern witchcraft and Satanism. So the Blairs are just very covert Satanists. A lot of this came out in 2001, but it didn't get a lot of coverage. And Sherry Blair did another very provocative thing when she went to see the Pope in 2006. She wore a white dress. Now, under etiquette, the laws of etiquette and decorum, a woman is supposed to wear black when she meets the Pope, except for a queen. A Catholic monarch may wear white before the Pope, and the last person to do so was the Queen of Spain in 2003. Now, this made headlines in Europe, and a member of parliament even decried her from, you know, the bench that she was, you know, declaring herself a queen or a monarch.
Well, of course, if he becomes the president of the European Union, essentially a dictator's, why, she will be comparable to a queen, perhaps even more powerful than any of the queens of Europe today.
Oh, definitely more powerful. And when you consider that, that's another thing that went underreported, but that was an extremely provocative gesture on her part to meet the Pope wearing white. And there was no letter of apology or censure, which normally happens in a breach of etiquette in you know, as far as embassies and things like that go. And the Roman Catholic Church just ignored it, which makes me wonder if they didn't strike up some sort of deal with Pope Benedict the 16th. It all sounds very fishy. And remember, the oldest symbol for Christianity is a fish, and a fish rots from the head down, which is part of the tragedy of what we're seeing today. But some of the occultism, for example, Ronald Reagan, who you mentioned earlier, was actually involved with an astrologer named Joan Quigley, who he met through Merv Griffin, who was a Bohemian Grove member, along with Ronald Reagan. The Reagans got their astrologer from the Bohemian Grove.
And I think it's important that people realize there's a book written by Joan Quigley, who is the astrologer, the official astrologer of the President of the United States. And the book is entitled, What Did Joan Say? By Joan Quigley. And of course, the phrase came from whenever, of course, Nancy Reagan would go to see the astrologer and would go back to the White House. The first thing that her husband would say was, well, what did Joan say? And Joan Quigley was directing the course of the Republican administration under the Reagan administration. The book, I got my copy off the internet, Amazon.com. Fascinating reading. And, of course, we know that Nancy was very much involved in the occult, but nobody ever wants to tell you that Ronald Reagan was also very involved in the occult. And, of course, we carry another book called The Dove Connection, going into Ronald's entire career, which nobody ever wants to talk about. Ronald Reagan, who said everything I believe. He wanted to cut back on big government, but he gave us the biggest government we've ever had. He wanted to cut back on deficit spending. He gave us the largest deficits we've ever had. He wanted to cut back on taxation. And he did when he first got into office. And then in 1986, he gave us the largest tax increase we have ever had in the history of this nation up to that time. And nobody ever wants to talk about that. So the trouble is that so much of what goes on today, the American people don't understand. It's there in plain sight, but they just don't want to accept it because we need a hero. And Ronald Reagan said, everything that I believe in. And certainly I just love to hear him talk. Had a wonderful sense of humor. He was a great communicator. I think it's a shame he never got an Academy Award because I think he was one of the greatest actors of all time. Go right ahead, William.
Very true, Dr. Stan. And consider that Ronald Reagan, here's another tidbit I found out. He actually was in a film with a woman named Eden Gray, who was the mother of modern tarot. I met Eden Gray in the 1980s once. She's she wrote the number one book on tarot in the world. And she told me that she used to read Ronald Reagan's tarot cards when they were on the set of the film they worked on. So, Ronald Reagan's attachment to the occult goes way, way back, and it's multifaceted. He also consulted with Jean Dixon, the famous soothsayer, who also advised Roosevelt and Richard Nixon. So you never hear about how heavily influenced by the occult our leaders are. It's simply not expressed in the media.
And, of course, the last thing they want is for the Christians of this country to really understand the occult influences at the highest levels of our government. And, of course, so often the Christians rally behind the man who talks Christianese. But, of course, never judge a person by what they say. Watch what they do. And, of course, all we need to do is note we go from war to war to corruption. And, well, we'll be back here in just a moment with William H. Kennedy as he explores this whole idea of Tony Blair now running for the president of the European Union. We'll go right ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, as I said, the occultism that you see within world leaders is quite shocking. Now, an ally of Tony Blair's is a guy named Billy Claus. Billy Claus was the former Secretary General of NATO, and he was the Belgian Defense Secretary in the 1990s. He was eventually forced to resign as the head of NATO because he was taking bribes from a helicopter company, and when he was Belgian foreign minister, he more or less caused the Rwandan genocide. He was behind most of the problems that happened in that huge massacre of innocent people. But Billy Claus was also implicated in the Marc Dutroux case. Marc Dutroux was a serial killer and child rapist who used to kidnap children and sell them to elite pedophile groups. Quite frankly, the Bilderberg Group. He would sell these kidnapped women and girls and little boys to the Bilderberg Group to be raped. And when he was being tried, the judge called for witnesses to come forward, and one of the witnesses came forward and said she saw Billy Claus in one of these satanic rituals with King Albert of Belgium in 1962. Now, when you connect these dots, here's another dot we can connect, Dr. Stan, and this is very bizarre. In 2007, Billy Claus was in a commercial in Belgium for a rock festival that's held every year, which is kind of like the Lollapalooza tour they used to have in the United States. But in this TV commercial, he performs a satanic candle ritual. He lights a candle and summons a demon, and the demon runs out. He's wearing a helmet with horns, and he's on fire, and his helmet has the flag of the European Union on it, and he flashes the evil eye, a satanic symbol. It's actually a cursing ritual that Billy Claus aired on Belgian television, and you can see this on my website, williamhkennedy.com. This is one of the few places you can find this bizarre Billy Claus video of him performing a satanic ritual on European TV.
And in fact, I've seen that. You sent that to me. It's really, you almost find it difficult to believe that a key government official would appear on television, you know, conjuring up a demonic spirit, and that's what the basic theme of this advertisement was.
Oh, yeah, it sends chills up your spine, especially when you consider Billy Claus is fully aware that he was implicated in the Marc Dutroux case. By the way, I have the complete pedophile dossier up at williamhkennedy.com on the Satanic Crime Multimedia page, which lists all of the European nobility who are involved in these bizarre satanic sex rituals. It was very hard to get this book for a long time. It was pulled off the market by King Albert of Belgium, the Belgian king. And it is now online at williamhkennedy.com, Satanic Crime Multimedia page. A former prime minister of Belgium is implicated in this. Elio Di Rupo, a major gay politician in the European Union, and a Bilderberger was implicated in bizarre sex. And many other major shakers in Europe, including a guy that they call the Black Baron.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is telling us about the material he has on his website you'll certainly want to get into. And, of course, it involves much of the royalty of Europe who are involved in pedophilia and satanic sacrifices, and people said that can't be going on today. That sounds like a movie with Tom Cruise. And, of course, the man who put out that movie, the producer, died before that movie was ever released. You know, they do not want the American people to know that these things are not imaginary. They're very real. And when you talk about them, unless you have the protection of our Lord, why, your life is not worth very much. And I'm sure, of course, that William Kennedy is as prayer coverage as do we when we talk about these things. And this is why we always ask our listeners to pray for our provision and protection, because we've been able to survive where so many of the people who've done what we're doing have not. Well, certainly, let's get into the background. Of course, these satanic crimes really involved the Bilderbergers, this little group of 100, 150 of the wealthiest people in the world. And wasn't there a massive march over in Belgium some years ago with 300,000 Belgians?
Over that, it was in October of 1996. And what happened was Marc Dutroux, the judge, a fellow named Judge Connor Rote, Jean-Marie Connor Rote, called for more investigation into the Dutroux case and these rich people who were involved in satanic pedophilia. And what happened was this Judge Connor Rote had attended a fundraiser dinner. The parents of the kidnapped and murdered children were raising some money to hire private detectives to go out in search for missing children, and they wanted to get a huge fund. Now, Judge Connor Rote did not contribute to this fund, but he did show up for one of their fundraisers for moral support, and he was given an entree, a rubber chicken dinner, and that was the Belgian government intervened and said that was taking a bribe and pulled him off the case, which ended the entire investigation into the Bilderberg pedophiles, Satanist pedophiles. And the Belgians just went wild. And as I said, in October of 1996, between 300 and 400,000 Belgians marched in Brussels, and they all wore white or carried white flowers in protest of this travesty that Judge Connor Rote was removed and these Bilderberger Satanists were allowed to go free. Now, there were a few people fired in the Belgian government as a result of the white march on popular people, but it really didn't even put a dent into the Bilderberg satanic conspiracy, especially when you consider that someone like Willy Claus, who was implicated in this and was one of the people these 350,000 people were protesting against, had the audacity to go on television and do that satanic commercial, which was aired on Belgium TV. And a lot of Belgians are quite furious about this. I've gotten a lot of emails from them. It's quite shocking over there when you think about it. And these people are brazen. They don't care anymore. They got away with it, and that commercial is just the Bilderbergers, you know, snubbing their nose at Europe and saying, you didn't get us, we're still in power.
And, of course, not a word of this in the American press, totally blacked out. You know.
Well, Dr. Stan, I was living in England in 1996, and it was widely covered there in October of 1996. And when I came home to the United States to visit my family at Christmas and started talking about it, no one here knew what I was talking about.
Well, of course, the media has never mentioned the Bilderbergers until just about maybe a year or so ago, just like they'd never mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations until about 15 years ago, even though it had been around, of course, since 1921. Since they control the media, they control what we hear, what we read, what we see, and ultimately what we believe. And the satanic nature of these organizations is simply never mentioned.
Oh, no, Dr. Stan. It's really quite shocking when you consider how extensive the Satanism and occultism permeates into the American presidency. Gerald Ford was a 33rd degree Mason. Now, for people that don't know, Freemasonry, especially in its higher degrees, becomes ultimately satanic. They pray before Abaddon, and Lucifer is seen as, you know, a positive force. And not only Ford, but Bill Clinton was in the DMLA when he was a kid, and they do all the same rituals.
In fact, you even got a section on Bill Clinton there and his DMLA connections, don't you?
Yes, I do. At WilliamHKennedy.com.
In fact, what was so funny was when, oh, I suppose maybe it wasn't funny, but it was so telling when Bill Clinton was impeached. All the Masons there and the Senate, who were Republicans, joined the Democrats to block any effort to impeach him. Of course, I mean, the Masons all stick together. And, of course, they swear that they will never, of course, you know, certainly indict any one of their friends, even for murder or treason. And, of course, Bill Clinton was a traitor. But, of course, he was not impeached because, of course, he had powerful friends in very high places. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is William H. Kennedy, and we're talking about Tony Blair. Now, is there anything else we should get to cover as far as Tony Blair is concerned?
Well, there again, I just want to recap very quickly. Number one, Tony Blair, since he left being the Prime Minister of England, has done two things. He's converted to Roman Catholicism and allied himself with the Pope to the point where his wife is dressing like a European monarch in the Pope's presence. Number two, he's running for the EU presidency, which since December of 2007, the president of the EU will very soon have dictator status. This will all come into effect in 2009. And this new super president of the European Union, allied with the Roman Catholic Church, will be the most powerful politician on earth. He'll have the full force of the Roman Catholic Church and the full force of Europe behind him. He will be the most powerful man in the world in 2009, whoever that president is. But Tony Blair is making a concerted effort to run for it, and what people don't realize is he is a secret Satanist. He went to a dowser named Jack Temple and did different occult rituals. He studied with Carol Capon, who gives Tony Blair and his wife magical pendulums. And he also went down to Mexico and did a bizarre satanic ritual with a woman named Nancy Aguilar at a temple complex down there. So Tony Blair is actually a secret elite occultist. And what all this reminds me of, Dr. Stan, as a Roman Catholic and someone who has studied Roman Catholic history extensively, in the 1920s, there was a group called the Golden Veil who were in France. They were a Catholic group. And what they sought to do was unite Freemasonry and Catholicism and eventually have a one-world government where there would be a monarch, preferably a Habsburg, and the Pope would rule the world, and they would have this secret elite occult society on the top of it. Now, what happened to the Golden Veil is many of its members in France died during World War I, so they technically died out. But the same set of ideas of the Golden Veil is arising again in Tony Blair, and I wonder if this isn't some sort of revival of the Golden Veil or some vestige of it which still survived, because it is forming the exact same sort of one world government these Catholics discussed, you know, back in around 1900 they started doing this. So as
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, as William Gates Kennedy points out, Tony Blair, who is strongly aligned with the occult, and if you go to William's website, WilliamHKennedy.com, you can actually link to articles in the New York Times and in the Telegraph over there in Great Britain, and articles, you know, going into not only Blair but many of our own presidents who've been involved with astrology and the occult. But we never talk about that, and then we wonder why Richard Nixon prolongs the senseless war in Vietnam for so long and kills so many more people. And with a war that they'd always intended for America to back out of, and of course with the rules of engagement over there designed so that we could never win the war. Our military could fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never win the war. And of course Roosevelt got us into World War II intentionally and then prolonged the war. The Japanese kept trying to surrender, as did the Germans, and we wouldn't let them surrender. Because, of course, if they'd surrendered, the war would have been over and the carnage would have ended. And it's so difficult for people to believe that these sort of things could go on. If you'd like the article out of the Chicago Tribune going into the background of how the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months before we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and, of course, the fact that the invasion of both Iwo Jima and Okinawa were totally unnecessary. We have the article out of the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, there in April 15th, 1945, which nobody has ever read. But you need to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Well, anyway, let me suggest very strongly that you go to this website. And aren't you working on a new book, William?
Dr. Stan, what I'm doing now is I'm putting together a book of my essays, and I'm going to call it Occult History, Collected Essays, 1994 to 2008. I'm writing a special essay for it. But these are all my scholarly academic articles, mostly from SOFIA, which I had an article published by Houston Smith, and I had another article on Freemasonry published by R.A. Gilbert. And so I'm just pulling together all my articles into a single text that, you know, since 1994, I have enough of them now to form a book. And it does form a really good general introduction to occultism when you read all these essays together. I'm also finishing up my Lucifer's Lodge documentary, which is a one-hour documentary on the Catholic priest pedophile crisis. I'm having a little sound trouble with it, but I have a sound engineer working it out now. And I am also selling some other items at WilliamHKennedy.com, which people can buy to help support the site. But I still strongly urge people to go to WilliamHKennedy.com and please look at this free material that I put together. You can watch films, you can hear audios, you can read articles. It's a multimedia presentation. There's lots of photographs, there's lots of links. I made it, it's a grim subject, but I made it as fun as I could. And it's really a treasure trove of information concerning contemporary Satanism, and it's free, and I really want people just to take a look at it, and it will give you a bird's eye view of contemporary Satanism in our time.
And don't you actually have some of the material that Alex Jones got when, of course, he infiltrated the Bohemian Grove and got the pictures of their satanic
Oh, yeah, I have the full film that Alex Jones did at the Bohemian Grove in, I believe it was 2001 or 2002 right. Back then. He filmed their ritual owl ceremony where they perform a mock human sacrifice to this owl god. And this is people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Art Linkletter and Merv Griffin and, you know, just all the Bushes. Everyone under the sun who's a major power player, Helmut Kohl, Jimmy Carter, an alleged evangelical Christian. What is he doing bowing before a bizarre owl god? Shame on Jimmy Carter for doing that. And then he tries to pass himself off as an evangelical Christian. It's quite shocking and disturbing. When you really think about it, it just makes his Christianity a bunch of nonsense and a cover story. Really.
And if anybody who would like, we actually have some of the books were secretly published by the Bohemian Grove. They're not supposed to be available to the public, but in the opening pages of one of them, they have a picture of the owl. It's just a little caption. We review, I think it's, the phrase simply suggests that they worship the owl. The owl is, of course, the subject of worship. This is a 40-foot owl, an emblem of Moloch, the ancient, of course, occult god of darkness.
And child sacrifice.
Right. And,
well.
we actually have the pages. It's just one page. We'll be glad to get you a copy of it. Where they talk about they revere or something of the sort, the owl. The owl, of course, is the symbol of the Bohemian Grove. And literally all of the key players, power players in the United States, are affiliated with that. We actually have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, as we do on the Bilderbergers and on Skull and Bones, which is another Luciferian organization. Don't you actually have a video that somebody shot, secretly, of the Luciferian ceremony that every member of Skull and Bones takes?
Oh, yes. A fellow in 2001 went to the building next door to the Skull and Bones and film their courtyard ritual. They have a court behind their building. It's just a walled-off space. And you can see Skull and Bones members kissing a skull and performing a mock human sacrifice and even kneeling before a figure dressed as a devil. I also have another series of photographs of the courtyard. Someone hopped the wall and took photographs, and what you see there, it looks like some sort of demonic baptismal font, which has two skeletons looking at each other with blood in this, like, basin-type thing. And they also have a divination device that looks like the Wheel of Fortune on a tarot deck. So these are really bizarre occultists, and these are powerful people, like John Kerry is a Skull and Bonesman. Both George W. Bush's are Skull and Bonesmen. William F. Buckley, there again, an alleged decent Roman Catholic. What's he in there standing before this bizarre baptismal font with skeletons and using a Wheel of Fortune divination device. What's that about? I thought he was supposed to be a good Catholic. He is not. He is an occultist. It's bizarre. It's just quite amazing. And when you go to WilliamHKennedy.com and go to the Satanic Crime multimedia page, as I said, you will get a full education in contemporary Satanism and witchcraft, secondary to none. If you want to focus in on particular areas, you can. If you want to do a general survey, it's cram-packed with information. I link to all the best films on Google Video and YouTube. You can start off by watching a one-hour documentary on Aleister Crowley, which features Colin Wilson, which really shows what an evil and influential man Aleister Crowley, the famous Satanist who died in 1947, really was. We're still feeling his impact today. It's very bizarre. He died in obscurity, but he was really resurrected, I guess, in the 1960s counterculture. And you can see all of this, as I say, at WilliamHKennedy.com. You can see films of the contemporary Wicca movement and how it is really just Satanism in disguise. Alex Saunders, one of the major figures in Satanism, was actually a follower of Crowley. Gerald Gardner, the father of modern witchcraft, got most of his rituals from Aleister Crowley for the witchcraft movement. Sybil Leek was a disciple of Aleister Crowley when she was 9 years old. Janet Farrar, she does very bizarre nude rituals where she compares herself to Jesus Christ. I mean, very bizarre stuff. Laurie Cabot, the official witch of Salem, Massachusetts, was arrested by the Salem police for threatening her housemate with a gun. She held a gun to her housemate's head. She was also, when the police came to arrest Laurie Cabot's daughter for child abuse, she put a witch's hex on them. Very bizarre stuff. So these people who claim to be, you know, Mother Nature worshippers and tolerant and all this stuff, when you look at them closely, they're either sexual perverts or violent, you know, nuts, like Laurie Cabot, quite frankly. So, you know, the public facade the Wicca movement gives is a lot of nonsense. It involves hexing and black magic. It is a diabolical art. If you petition a spiritual being to do another human being harm, you are practicing black magic and nothing less. You are only a demon would hurt another human being at the request of a human being. So you're in a very bad space with witchcraft and Wicca, and I demonstrate this for you and give you documentation at WilliamHKennedy.com on the witchcraft multimedia page.
And I think one of the interesting things is how many of our primary and major entertainers, people in the rock music field, in a word, dedicated to Aleister Crowley. We have a video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. You'll see Ozzy Osbourne, of course, talking about the Aleister Crowley and singing about Aleister Crowley, how wonderful he was. And of course, you see the relationship to the Beatles and how they use pictures of Aleister Crowley hidden, you know, in the on their albums. Why? Because they were all dedicated to Aleister Crowley. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version is available from my ministry at 1-800-544-8927. And there you'll see Ozzy Osbourne singing about Aleister Crowley and other people as well. I mean, but you see, the average individual has no idea what's really going on. Because you're never going to hear about this to most places. They don't want you to know. You know, they want you to think there's a battle between the liberals and Democrats, or the liberals and the conservatives, the Republicans and the Democrats, but that's not what the battle's about at all. It's a battle between God and Satan. And, of course, it's not imaginary. It's very real. It's being fought on a political battlefield today. And when you have a woman who, you know, running for the president, who just won in the state of California, who, when she was in the White House 8 years ago, was bringing in Jean Houston to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Amanda Scandy. And you can go up on the Internet and Google that in and determine what we're telling is true. And nobody talks about it. Nobody on the right, nobody on the left, nobody in the media. Why won't they talk about that? Well, very simply, because they don't want you to know. They don't want you to focus your attention on what the real battle is really all about. Well, William, certainly, what sort of response are you getting to your website? Because it really is a beautiful website. I've been there. So much great information.
Well, I get, you know, many, many hits, and I've been very blessed. I'm an internet success story, Dr. Stan. My rise to fame is a result of the internet. I've been very honored. Most of the responses are positive, and what surprises me, Dr. Stan, is people within the Satanist and goth community actually like my pages. They don't give me a lot of flack. They kind of enjoy what I'm doing, and they sort of respect the fact that I'm being very blunt about the hard facts about many of the things they practice. So oddly enough, on the whole, the response has been positive for the pages, and even people who are into that movement kind of appreciate what I did and how I organized some very rare material into a single narrative almost.
And of course, what's really so incredible is that so many of the world leaders are into this occult satanic movement. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for William, we're drawing to the end of the program, but this is an important issue. You need to understand it's there, and it is the major driving force behind our political and ideological and our cultural battle. And
oh, yeah, and you can also get my book, Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium, at that number you just gave out, or radioliberty.com, definitely. My book actually pulls all of this together into a single volume and connects all the dots in a very clear fashion. So people might want to consider purchasing the book to go along with the web page, but the web page unto itself is pretty good.
We actually carry the book. We think it's great.
Right.
We have a four-tape set by the same name, and a couple of our interviews with William Kennedy, so you can certainly cover much of what we've talked about today. And then it's well-documented in the book, and then you want to see the pictures of the leaders of Skull and Bone, which includes two recent presidents, bowing before a figure of Lucifer. Why, it's up there on William's webpage. Understand, this is not imaginary. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even know a battle is going on. Hi, Mike, do you have a question there?
Yeah, just one question about the owl at the Bohemian Grove.
Right.
And the owl is also used in the worship of Minerva, and the owl is supposedly representative of the wisdom of Minerva, and we also have Minerva on our state flag. That's the state Bohemian Grove is in, for those who are out of state, California. So I just want to ask Mr. Kennedy if he knows anything about that.
The owl is a very common symbol, and generally speaking, it represents wisdom in the Western Hermetic tradition. But when you consider how specific the ritual is at the Bohemian Grove is, you really can't compare it to other uses of the owl, like on a bag of Wise potato chips or something. So you have to make distinctions. I don't see a direct connection with the owl that's out there everywhere. But when you see this very specific film that Alex Jones shot at the Bohemian Grove, I mean, these world leaders are dressed up like Ku Klux Klan members carrying torches, bowing before this owl figure, and they perform a mock human sacrifice. So all of these specifics within this ritual at the Bohemian Grove is really what makes it fascinating, not just that they specifically use an owl.
And, of course, I think the most interesting thing is here are these world leaders dressed in black with black hoods on, carrying the candles and walking silently. And, of course, if you've never seen the film Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise, it's well worthwhile watching it. It's not a nice film. I don't recommend it. But it's exactly the same pattern. And, of course, the man who created that movie trying to expose the satanic influence within the hierarchy of the ruling class of Europe ended up very dead shortly before the film was released. Anything else, Mike?
Good enough. Thanks a lot.
God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you, Michael. God bless
Bye.
You.
And, of course, Mike is a good friend. And anyway, of course, we are people must understand what is really going on. And they honestly think there's a battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, and yet they're all globalists. They all want to continue this genocidal war over in Iraq with one candidate, and he got very, very few votes. I mean, in fact, the Republicans voted for a candidate that said that overwhelmingly voted for a candidate to say we may have to keep our troops in Iraq for 100 years. How could that be? I mean, who would want to keep our troops in Iraq for 100 years? John McCain made that statement. And where was the outcry from Republican leaders? Why, they were flocking in and backing John McCain. Well, we've got real problems in America today because America has turned its back on God, and God is going to bring his judgment on America. William, thank you very much for being with us. Hang on, we've got 3 more minutes before we let you go, but our guest has been William Kennedy, William H. Kennedy. His website, williamhkennedy.com. Go there. Get educated. Help us get out the truth. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up today's program.
Very good, Dr. Stan. You mentioned John McCain a bit earlier, and he just won a lot of the Super Tuesday Republican primary, and it's quite startling something he said the other day. I saw this on CNN. He said, "I will go to the gates of hell if necessary to catch Osama bin Laden." And with all of these things we've been discussing today, I don't know if he meant that just as a figure of speech or if he's literally going to petition the Dark Lord to fight his enemies for him. When you put all these things together, when a politician makes a statement like that, you really can't take it as a metaphor anymore, because all of these people seem to be involved with satanic and Luciferian secret societies of different kinds. And the mainstream media just refuses to report it, or they put it on the back burner of reporting, or they send people like Charlie Sheen out to really, you know, kind of, you know, minimize it. You know, Charlie Sheen will come out against these things, and then he'll go right back on primetime TV. So they really kind of manipulate that to a great extent, too. So we're not being informed. What people need to do is educate themselves, and they can do so at RadioLiberty.com and WilliamHKennedy.com. And I strongly urge everyone to check out those two sites and begin to really see what's going on in the world.
Well, of course, your site is so different than mine, but your site has a great deal of good information, and I think it's vitally important that people certainly can access that and take advantage of this opportunity, because you're not charging them to go onto the website. William, of course, has written an excellent book on satanic crimes. He really pulls together so much of what he's talked about, and then you'll actually see the documentation up on his website. And, of course, we do carry a 4-tape set on entitled Satanic Crimes, which we think is very, very important. Well, William, I certainly appreciate everything you do. I'm looking forward to getting your update of the Lucifer's Lodge book, going into the homosexuality within the Catholic Church and the control of the Catholic training seminars for young priests. And tragically, of course, in some of these seminars, if you were not homosexual and you wanted to become a priest, you weren't allowed in. Incredible information that you're not going to hear elsewhere, and obviously accepted by people at the highest levels of the Catholic Church. And you have to ask yourself, what in heaven's name is going on? Until you understand the spiritual forces are at work behind the homosexual movement. William, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and God bless you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we don't want to be accused of picking on the Catholics. We feel that the satanic forces are in the Protestant church. They're in the Jewish church today, and of course they are undermining the basic beliefs of the faith. And certainly Christianity is under attack today, and it was because of the Masonic influence in the Supreme Court back in the 1960s that they took God and prayer out of our schools and found a woman had a right to an abortion, and of course they centralized all power in Washington, D.C., so that they could legalize pornography, and all of these things aimed at destroying the very soul of America. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me recommend you do that. Certainly we carry, of course, a four-tape set on satanic crimes. You want to know what happened in Rwanda, we have a four-tape set on the other Holocaust. We have, of course, a four-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We have two books on the Bilderbergers and a video on the Bilderbergers. And, of course, the Bilderbergers. So we have the book by Daniel Esselin, and then we have the book by James Tucker, Bilderberger Diaries. So you're not going to get more information on the Bilderbergers anyplace else. And then you need to read the book Satanic Crimes, going into the satanic pedophilia carried out by members of the Bilderbergers. And when they were, of course, brought before the bar of justice, why, immediately they got rid of the judge and the Bilderbergers and their royal associates, because this involves many of the royal houses of Europe, continue their satanic practices. We have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones, and we have a number of books on Skull and Bones. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove and a video on the Bohemian Grove. And you need to understand how all of these organizations interlock. If I could suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's probably the best short summary and to pull all of this together, so you will understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on today. Let me suggest you call us at 1-800-544-8927. You need to find out if we're telling the truth. We could be making all this up. But if what we're telling you is the truth and you're not involved, then you become part of the problem, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free newsletter from Radio Liberty, if you'd like to get our catalog on the books and videos and four tapes that we carry, or a health catalog, or an emergency food catalog, because you really should be preparing yourself for the difficult times that lie ahead. And certainly the government's making arrangements to protect their people, but they're not making arrangements to protect you and your family. And you remember what happened to the people of New Orleans, now when, of course, the flood came, and of course, there was no help for them. And those who tried to escape from the community over the bridge to an adjacent community where there were buses waiting, they were fired upon by the local sheriff to keep them from leaving and to drive them back into the chaos and horror that was taking place in New Orleans at the time. How could the government do such a poor job unintentionally? I don't believe it was unintentional. And then they took many of the people and they put them into trailers or homes that were, of course, had been specially treated with formaldehyde, which created chronic illness in the people. Why would they put formaldehyde in all those trailers and poison all those black people, because they were predominantly black? Why would they do something like that? Well, of course, it really doesn't make sense unless you understand that there really is organized evil in the world, and there are people who hate blacks. That's why in Botswana today, 46% of the pregnant women are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. And if you want to verify that, we'll be glad to send you the material, the pages out of the material we get from the government. Comes out of the Commerce Department. We're monitoring the HIV epidemic in Africa today to see what a great job we're doing in stopping it. And of course, it's spreading like wildfire, which I believe is part of the population control agenda of the wicked people in key positions of control. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
with news on the Information Radio Network. I'm Greg Moore. President Bush pledging that the government will step in and help those battered by a storm that unleashed a frenzy of deadly tornadoes in the South. At least 48 people are dead. Crews are going door to door to search for other victims. Ohio could be swamped by even worse flooding as rain melts snow, which is spilling into city streets. City leaders in Findlay fear that another major flood could sweep through the town that was covered in near record levels of water.